No, we're just going to start recording. Who cares, you know? Who cares, you know? Just hit the record button, you know? And just start. There's no real good way to warm up to these things, man. Even when I'm, you know, recording videos and predictions videos and reviews and stuff, I always try to hype myself up, but whatever. Oscar guy here. How's it going, y'all? If you're hearing this right now, it means that I decided to do a podcast. Oscar guy here. Podcast. I don't know if I'm going to be doing it. I'm going to be listening back to this and going to be making my decision on it once I assess if it's worth pursuing or not. And if you're hearing this, then it means I am. So hello. This is the Oscar Guy Here podcast, episode 1. How's it going? If you guys are unaware of my YouTube channel somehow, and have stumbled upon this randomly, God bless you. I have a YouTube channel called Oscar Guy Here. You can find it fairly easily. I don't even know what my handle is. It's like Oscar Guy Here 6668 or something like that. I'm actually going to look at it right now. So the handle is at Oscar Guy Here 6663. Don't know why, but just go to YouTube and type in Oscar Guy Here. You'll find me. I'm also on Instagram at Oscar Guy Here, and I am on Letterboxd, which is the social network for film buffs and people who rate and review movies and stuff. My handle on Letterboxd is not Oscar Guy Here. It is actually JazzMusic131, because I made that account before I started Oscar Guy Here, and I've been wanting to relabel it or change it, and you can't. So have a round of applause about that, Letterboxd. Because I've rated all my movies already. I had rated too many movies already, reviewed too many movies already before starting Oscar Guy Here, so that's that we're gonna stick with Jazz Music 131. So that's it. I'm kinda starting this podcast, I guess, as a supplemental thing to interact with the community and to kind of parse a lot of the things that are happening in the awards season and in film and whatnot. I feel like I typically don't have the time to make as many videos as I'd like, given my current lifestyle, I guess. So I figured I'd just do a podcast to kind of, air grievances or review movies or give you guys updates on the channel, updates on award season prospects, films that are coming out that could be Oscar contenders, maybe doing some predictions in addition to my prediction videos, just general updates, you know what I'm saying? I don't really know yet. I'm still kind of gonna, figure it out. I'm gonna feel it out as we are 4 minutes into this podcast already. If you're unfamiliar with what I do, just check out my YouTube channel, and I do a lot of predictions. I do YouTube shorts, reviewing movies and whatnot, doing reaction videos to award ceremonies like the Oscars and Critics' Choice and SAG and Golden Globes and everything like that. I actually did start another YouTube short series called Operation Watchlist, where I'm starting to clear out my Letterboxd watch list, which is, if I check right now, is 467 films deep. Pretty intense list of films, and honestly it should be even higher than that. I'm sure there's a lot of other films that I should see that are not on my watch list. So, just to give you an example, like my most recent addition to my watch list is Funny Face from 1957, starring, of course, the one and only Audrey Hepburn, directed by Stanley Donen. It's got a 3.6 average rating. You know, I have an Audrey Hepburn shirt of her character from Funny Face, so I feel like I'm obligated to watch that film. So that was added to my watch list. But in any case, my Operation Watch List YouTube shorts, I've done two of them so far. I really like doing them. I mean, there's not a whole lot of people out there that are kind of doing those types of videos. I just feel like that could catch on at some point. Coming from somebody whose YouTube channel has, at the time of this recording, 334 subscribers, which, hey, man, I'm humbled by that. I mean, it could be 10, or it could be 10 million. Honestly, I wouldn't want to have 10 million subscribers. I think a million might be cool. But outside of that, it's like, I don't want to get famous, man. I don't want to get Fantano famous, you know what I'm saying? But never say never. Never say never. Anything can change, but that's where we're at right now. Coming on 2 years. I don't know what I'm talking about. I feel like I'm rambling. Very unstructured. I apologize. Again, I'm feeling it out. But yeah, my YouTube shorts for Operation Watchlist, that I do like where that's going. I've done two. The first one I did was for A Separation, which is an Asghar Farhadi film, Iranian filmmaker. Really great movie. It actually won the Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film back in 2011 or 2012. Deservedly so. And was even nominated for Original Screenplay, I believe, as well. Very good. Incredibly heartbreaking. Very, very sad film, but worth the watch anyway. Very powerful. But it's a tough watch, for sure. It's very good. And then the second one that I did was this past weekend. I saw Brokeback Mountain for the first time. Also a very sad movie. So, hey man, what's with these sad movies? So, I didn't even describe how I pick these films for my watch list. So, my website, OscarGuyHere.com, which is a website that I built, I have a page on that website, OscarGuyHere.com/watchlist, and it's just a button that I press. It says, what should I watch? And I press the button, and then it randomly picks a movie from the database of my watch list films, and it displays it. It says the title and the year it came out, and then links to the Letterboxd page, as well as a link to justwatch.com for that particular film, so I can be told by the internet where to watch it, whether it's on streaming or if it's on VOD or if it's nowhere, which I've run across before, unfortunately. So luckily, A Separation was on Prime Video, and Brokeback was on Max, which I am a member of both of those platforms. So haven't run into the situation where I have to rent a movie off VOD, or when a film is just inaccessible via the internet. Never say never. Could happen. So yeah, that's Operation Watchlist. I'm gonna try to be doing that more often. It's really fun. I can really only do it when I have a free day, like a free afternoon or a free evening. I got nothing going on, so you know, that's what I'm doing. But yeah, Brokeback Mountain, it was a great movie. It should have won Best Picture. It won director for Ang Lee, for sure. It won basically every Best Picture prize that year, and then Crash won Best Picture, I guess for various reasons. Upsettingly so, because Brokeback came out in 2005, and if I'm being frank, at that time, you know, the Academy just wasn't ready or wasn't receptive enough to queer cinema, unfortunately. Brokeback was kind of one of the first mainstream films to kind of put queer cinema in the limelight. So it was kind of a groundbreaking film in regards to that, and I guess Academy was just a little bit behind the times. It did reward it, but them not giving it Best Picture to a much less loved film, to say the very least, kind of put a damper on their reputation for sure. And I think most people can agree with that. I've never even seen Crash. I've just heard it's very divisive and very whitewashy. Like, I don't really know how to describe it, but it was a weird situation. But it did win Best Director, and I think it won Screenplay as well, right? And probably adapted, right? Let's look it up. Sorry if you hear my keyboard. Not only do I have a mechanical keyboard, I have a microphone that kind of picks up everything. The microphone that I'm using is on my desk. So one of these days I'd like to get, number one, something to cover the microphone up so I can get this background noise out of here, and maybe a mic stand to get it off my desk, and to get an audio interface. Those will all be coming, but you know what I mean? Humble beginnings. Humble and small beginnings. You know what I mean? Alright, here we go. So Brokeback Mountain won Best Director, it won Adapted Screenplay, and it won Best Original Score, which really surprised me, because that score, as great as it is very sparse and like acoustic guitar centered. The music was composed by Gustavo Santaolalla. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing his name. I know that he did the music for The Last of Us, which has a great soundtrack. He did the music for Babel, which I think he won for that too. Yeah, he won for that too. So he's a 2-time Oscar winner for original score. Real cool. Real cool. So that was a cool win for Brokeback. It was nominated for cinematography, Rodrigo Prieto. Supporting actress for Michelle Williams. She was great. Supporting actor for Gyllenhaal, of course. Actor for Ledger. He, of course, lost to Philip Seymour Hoffman, Capote, which I'm okay with. And then, of course, lost picture to Crash. Anne Hathaway is also in this film, and she is absolutely fantastic, I thought. She wasn't in the movie nearly as much as Michelle Williams or the other actors, but she did a bang-up job. I think Michelle Williams was more of a presence in the film, for sure. But there is that one scene toward the end where Anne Hathaway's character is on the phone with Heath Ledger's character, and her performance in that scene is incredible. What a great actress she is. But she didn't get any awards recognition that season, unfortunately. Not a BAFTA nom, not a Critics' Choice nom, no Golden Globe either, yeah. That's a shame, man. Wonder if I control F Anne Hathaway on the Wikipedia page. Okay, well, she was nominated for the SAG Ensemble. I mean, whatever. I'll take it. But she was great. But let's talk about Heath Ledger, man. Oh my God, dude. He blew me away in this movie. Like, what an incredible actor he was. Such an insanely devastating loss. Oh my God. He just embodies this character tenfold. Just this emotionally closed off, very gruff cowboy, closeted cowboy. He plays it so beautifully. And he's got this level of just underlying rage as well, and confusion, and conflict, inner turmoil, and just trauma that he has. You can really feel everything that he does in this film. Just a monster of an actor he was, man. And Gyllenhaal too, which, I mean, we can talk about Jake Gyllenhaal's snubbed performances throughout the years. I mean, Nightcrawler is just the start. Has he even been nominated for an Oscar since Brokeback? I don't think he has, man. Dude, Brokeback, supporting actor, is his only Oscar nomination. What the hell is that, bro? You have got to be shitting me. Dude, that's insane. How is that possible? Just the fact that he was nominated for every precursor for Nightcrawler and then missed the Oscar nomination, I think that turned a lot of people off from the Oscars, honestly. He's got 3 BAFTA Award nominations. He won the BAFTA for Supporting Actor for Brokeback. That's cool. He was nominated for 3 Tonys. What plays were he in? Seawall, A Life. Best Performance by a Leading Actor in a Play. And Best Play as a Producer. And he produced a play called Slave Play in the same year. So he was nominated for 3 Tonys in 1 year. That's insane. Interesting. Jake Gyllenhaal. Wonderful actor. Not in the Oscar club for whatever reason. The longer you ingest my content, for the lack of a better term, the more you will see that the Academy, they're biased. I'm gonna say it. They have their tastes, and their Oscar voters have quirks in regards to what they like. So these awards aren't completely about merit, which is kind of not ideal. But, you know, the political side of it kind of makes things interesting, and it makes things fun to predict and see where campaigns go. But yes, if somebody says to me, "Oh, the Oscars are all bullshit," I don't disagree. it's just the way it is. It's the way it always has been. Maybe it'll change, but I mean, we're 97 years into this thing. 97th annual is coming up next year, so I don't know, man. I don't know. But anyway, what am I even saying? Brokeback Mountain, great movie. I gave it a 4 out of 5. I thought some of the writing was a little on the nose. There were parts of it that were like hit or miss for me. It was beautifully shot. Rodrigo Prieto. I mean, it was beautifully shot, but yes, they were shooting in Alberta, which is a beautiful area in Canada. Very photogenic scenery in the film. It does still take a good cinematographer to make captivating shots in this film. Some of the writing was like, and there were some scenes that I think could have been cut. But all in all, it was very good. It was very good. And I think it should have won Best Picture. What else was nominated that year? I'm curious. I know Crash, Brokeback. Let's see. E. The letter E. Let's see. The 78th Academy Awards. Here we go. Capote was nominated. Good Night and Good Luck. And Munich. Pretty good lineup. Oh, man. I didn't know Bennett Miller directed Capote. Wow. Director of Foxcatcher and Moneyball. Paul Haggis, Crash, George Clooney, Good Night and Good Luck, Steven Spielberg, Munich. Okay, so same five films were nominated for director. Actor went to our boy Philip Seymour Hoffman. Reese Witherspoon won for actress for Walk the Line. George Clooney, Syriana, Best Supporting Actor. Man, he had a good year, huh? Good Night and Good Luck and winning supporting actor. Rachel Weisz won for supporting actress. Crash and Brokeback won their respective screenplay categories. Yeah, it was a fight to the death between those two, huh? Oh yeah, King Kong. King Kong and Memoirs of a Geisha were sweeping the text that year. Chronicles of Narnia won makeup. King Kong visual effects. Crash won editing. Oh, that's the writing on the wall. Brokeback wasn't even nominated for editing. You kidding? Interesting. Interesting. What one animated? Wallace and Gromit. Over Howl's Moving Castle and Corpse Bride. That's a choice. They like that studio for some reason. They like the Wallace and Gromit people. Yeah. So that's that year. The 2006 Oscars. So anyway, yeah, I watched Brokeback for Operation Watchlist. Episode 2. So, more to come. It's going to be a lot of fun. Two down, 465 to go. Right? Yeah. Right. Right. So, yeah. That's what I do. I go on my website and I pick a random movie. And that's what I do. That's what I do. Speaking of websites and what I do... I don't want to get like, so for this podcast, I don't plan on getting too personal. You know, I'm probably not going to talk about my personal life that much. I could, you know, if things get in the way of the channel and I have to, then I'll let y'all know. But, speaking of websites, Oscar Guy Here is not my full-time job. Folks. It might become my full-time job. You never know. It'd be nice. It's not like an objective of mine. I'm just kind of taking things slow and taking one day, one week, one month, one year, one decade at a time. But I don't know. It's not like it's not a priority for this to become a full-time gig. It's merely a hobby, and I'm okay with that. But for my day job, I am a web developer. That's what I do. I make websites. Make, build, maintain websites. And I'm not freelance. I work for a company, for an agency. Been working remotely since 2018, since pre-COVID. So I've been building websites from the comfort of my office. And as an office, my bedroom. and it's cool. It took me a long time to get good at it. Didn't think it would be something I would be doing to pay my rent, but I am content with that profession. I do enjoy it. I actually enjoy it more than I ever have at this point, because I have a good job now, a real good job. And I like what I'm building. I kind of had a turning point in my career last year for the better, for sure. So I'm very grateful for that. But that being said, I built my website, oscarguyhere.com, from scratch. Not completely from scratch, but, you know, I have my ways. It's not a freaking Squarespace or Wix site, I'll tell you that. I could go into specifics on how it's built and what content management system it uses. It's not WordPress. But that's going to go over y'all's heads, I think. But I just would like to say, yeah, I'm a web developer and I make my website. I made my website. I made it, man. I don't maintain it as much as I would like to, but I keep it fresh. And it's very basic right now. It's essentially just a landing page with my logo and links to my socials, and then like a little reviews tab, and it has this little pop-out thing where it has all my latest reviews on Letterboxd and external links to those Letterboxd reviews. That's all it is. I'd like to expand it, and I don't know how I'm going to expand it. I don't know. Maybe it could be a platform for these podcasts. Maybe I can upload my podcasts there. Maybe I can just have like little modals for my latest videos and predictions and things of that nature. I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to brainstorm that for a bit, but that'll be on the horizon. But other than that, man, I mean, what's been going on in the film news? I mean, look, man, the Oscar season has kicked off. I would say, I guess Venice Film Festival and Telluride Film Festival, when they get kicked off, it's pretty much the start of the season. Either officially or unofficially, whatever you want to call it. It's pretty much the start of the season. So we've been... Telluride was this past weekend. Venice is still going on. That started... When did that start? Last weekend as well? Venice started... Venice started on the 28th of August, and today is, as of this podcast recording, today is September 4th. So it's been going on for a week, and we got about, I think it ends on Saturday, actually. So that's when we will find out who will win the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival, which... I'm not sure how correlative that is to Best Picture or just award season prospects in general. Poor Things won the Golden Lion last year, and that went on to win, what, four Oscars? Five Oscars? Four? I think it won four. Actress, costume design, production design. What else did it win? Makeup and hair? We're looking it up. You hear my keyboard. Real time, folks. So yeah, won the Golden Lion. It won actress, production design, makeup and hairstyling, and costume design. Yep. So the Golden Lion. Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival. Poor Things won it. All the Beauty and the Bloodshed won the year before. Interesting. That was a documentary. Happening, Nomadland, which went on to win Best Picture. Joker won it. The first Joker won, and that was nominated for Best Picture. Roma won it. Best Picture nominee. Shape of Water won it. Best Picture winner. And then before that are all films that were definitely not in the Best Picture conversation. Sofia Coppola Somewhere won it in 2010. Interesting. The Wrestler, the Darren Aronofsky film, won it. Oh, what do you know? Brokeback Mountain won it. It's there. The correlation is there. It's not one-to-one by any means, but it's there. Ang Lee won it twice, man. For Brokeback and for Lust Caution, which was a erotic period espionage romantic mystery film. What? It was a Chinese film, I think. Ang Lee. Was it Chinese? Or is it Thai? Or no, Taiwanese. Oh, language is Mandarin, so. Okay, countries. United States, China, Taiwan. Okay. Multinational. Interesting. That was rated NC-17. Ooh. So yeah, the Venice Film Festival is going on. We got a few days left. A few films have premiered. Joker Folie à Deux. Sorry for my horrible French. That premiered either today or yesterday, and people say it's. I don't know. I don't know. How about that? I don't know. I don't know what people think of it. So, all the tweets I've been seeing about Joker Folie à Deux is that it's like, oh, it's so great. It's masterful. It's not really doing anything new. It's not really saying anything new. It's more of a response to the first film and the reception of the first film. But I don't know. I've been seeing very mixed things about it. It's got like a 59% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. But despite if people love it or hate it, even the detractors say that Lady Gaga is excellent in it. And I think she's having a year. Like, she put out a new song with Bruno Mars, I think. She has a new album coming out next month or soon. I have a feeling that she's going to be campaigned into the ground for this film. I want to say she's going to go supporting, but we don't know yet. They might campaign her in lead. I wouldn't be surprised. But from what I've been reading, what I've been seeing, that is, she is more of a supportive performance in the film. They might pull a Michelle Williams in The Fablemans and campaign her in lead. But then again, it was up to Michelle Williams. Gaga might want to go lead for this. But if she goes lead, she's going to have a hard time winning, because there's some front runners right now. But actually, Best Actress has kind of opened up a little bit too. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. We will have to see. So yeah. I mean, it got an 11-minute standing ovation. I mean, these standing ovation posts are kind of getting out of hand. Like, every film that premieres, like, the first thing that we have to know is how long the standing ovation was. Which is just kind of... it's kind of a tease, if I'm being honest. You know? It's kind of a tease. I don't know. It's weird. It really doesn't make a difference at the end of the day. It's just, we're just trying to get hyped up. You know what I mean? Another film that premiered was Queer by Luca Guadagnino, and I hear that's quite a film. It's got a lot of erotic sex scenes in it. And it gets weird. It gets real surreal and psychedelic and weird, because the characters take hallucinogens, from what I come to understand, in the last act. So it might be, I think it's one of the more polarizing films to come out of Venice this year. So I'm reluctant to put it in many categories at the Oscars. I'm still predicting Daniel Craig to get his first nomination for this film. Daniel Craig, by the way, incredible actor. I also did watch Logan Lucky the other day for the first time, and he is in that, and he just absolutely blew me away. I was just bewildered. He I mean, he's great in Knives Out, but, like, he takes his Knives Out, like, southern twang and, like, bumps it up a notch in Logan Lucky. And he puts, like, a crazy twisted spin on it. He's incredible. He's incredible. I mean, he is so much more than just James Bond, if I'm being honest. I'm actually very stoked for him to be out of Bond and for him to kind of tackle these more brave roles, for sure. So, I am definitely looking forward to seeing Queer, in any case. I did absolutely love Luca Guadagnino's other film this year, Challengers. Remains to be my favorite film of the year so far. And I also loved Call Me By Your Name. That was a great movie. I did not see Bones and All because I am squeamish when it comes to body horror. It's not really a body horror. I mean, it's about cannibals, so what are we doing here? I don't know. I haven't really had an interest to see that. I fainted at films before. Almost. I can't do the organs and the tissue. I can't do all that. But anyway, Queer, we'll have to see where that goes. What else? Oh, Baby Girl. Yeah, Baby Girl with Nicole Kidman. I don't really even know what to do with that either. I mean, the Oscars don't typically touch erotic thrillers at all. So I'd be surprised if that gets nominated outside of actress. I think Nicole Kidman might have a shot for a nomination. I've heard nothing but amazing things about her performance. So we'll see. What else? The Night Bitch trailer dropped. You heard me correctly. There's a film called Night Bitch coming out. Amy Adams is in it. She plays the lead. And the trailer, I don't really know what to make of it. It's about a woman, a frustrated mother who turns into a dog. That's, yeah. Look it up. Just watch the trailer. The trailer is kind of bonkers, and it makes it look like a family-friendly comedy. I don't know. I'm not really feeling it. Maybe the trailer was just bad, and the film might be deceptively better than we think it's going to be. I don't know. Maybe I could give it the benefit of the doubt, but not feeling it. Amy Adams was number one for a lot of people for Best Actress for this film. And I think a lot of people are kind of scrambling and saying, oh, is she even going to get nominated for this? Is she going to get a Razzie nomination for this? Is this an Oscar or Razzie performance? Or both? I mean, I don't know. I don't think this is going to touch the Oscars, as far as I'm concerned. From what I've seen in the trailer, I don't think the Academy is going to touch this with a 10-foot pole. So, yeah. So who's winning actress now? Carlos Sofia Gascon in Mamily Perez, perhaps. Saoirse Ronan in The Outrun, perhaps. Maria. Angelina Jolie, Maria, perhaps. I heard kind of mixed things about Maria, but I've heard that Angelina Jolie, no less, is amazing in the film. What else? The Brutalist. This movie really, 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 really performed well at the Venice Film Festival. I will be very surprised if that does not win the Golden Lion. I've heard... So it's a three... It's over 3.5 hours long. It has an overture and an intermission. It's shot on 70mm. And it is a post-war epic about immigration. It's got Adrian Brody in it, former winner for Best Actor. Felicity Jones, former nominee. Guy Pearce, I hear, is incredible in it. I hear this movie... I mean, people have been really hyping up this movie and have been giving it nothing but raves and praises. Many people are even comparing it to The Godfather and There Will Be Blood, one of my all-time favorite movies. Once Upon a Time in America. Like, it's like a modern epic, like, masterpiece. And it kind of came out of absolutely nowhere. It was just kind of like, oh, by the way, there's this movie that's coming out from Brady Corbett, a younger filmmaker. You think he's in his 30s. It's not his first film, but he has a couple films under his belt. He did kind of an ambitious, like, musical film a while back called Vox Lux, I think it's called. Brady Corbett. Corbett? We'll come to find out how his name is pronounced, because they're going to say his name on Oscar nominations morning, probably. Yeah, he did Vox Lux, which had Natalie Portman in it back in 2018, a musical drama film. Kind of came and went. But I have heard nothing but incredible things about The Brutalist, and it is probably on the top of my most anticipated for the year. That's going to probably go gangbusters at the Oscars next year. Picture, director, screenplay, editing, cinematography, actor, supporting actress. I mean, it's going to go absolutely nuts. As far as we know now, on the day of our Lord, September 4th, 2024, that's what I know. That's what we know. But man, The Brutalist, watch out. Watch out. Watch the heck I eat. What else? What else was at Venice? What else we have left? Oh yeah, Nickel Boys, I hear, is pretty ambitious. Very experimental, from what I hear. Kind of like this year's zone of interest in terms of, like, its perspective. It's filmed entirely from the perspective of the boys. It sounds pretty cool. It's something that the director's branch could go for. Because they like that auteur shit. Conclave over here is great, but there are some detractors think it's a little too over the top, a little too silly. Some people don't take it seriously, but I think it has a fair shot to get at least a handful of nominations, especially for Ray Fiennes, who I hear is excellent. Get him his first nomination in a couple decades, almost three decades, God forbid. Saturday Night, I hear, is great. That went gangbusters at Telluride. And TIFF. TIFF isn't going on right now. TIFF starts tomorrow. Wow. Toronto International Film Festival, another big boy of the fall film festivals. That begins tomorrow, and that goes through September 15th. So that's going to be cool. But yeah, at Telluride Film Festival, Saturday Night went gangbusters. I hear it's really great. It's a lot of fun. 90-minute romp, comedy. My boy Gabriel LaBelle from The Fablemans is in it. He plays Lorne Michaels. Shower him with praise. The Piano Lesson, I've heard mixed things about. Samuel L. Jackson's not getting nominated for supporting actor anymore, I don't think. Danielle Deadwyler, this could be her year. Avenger for her Till snub a couple years ago. The Apprentice, the Trump biopic, that's coming out. Cool. That's coming out. That got acquired. We'll see where the hell that goes this award season. It's gonna be interesting with the election coming up. The Lego animated documentary about Pharrell Williams, Piece by Piece, I hear is pretty good. The End by Joshua Oppenheimer has been getting some mixed reception. Here, that's a weird one, so that might not go all the way at the Oscars. Memoir of a Snail, I hear, is great. That's a animated feature contender. What else? I think that's pretty much it. That's pretty much what's going on right now. We'll see what happens for the rest of Venice. Let's see what happens with the Golden Lion, where that's going to go, and what the actor trophies are going to go to. You know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? And then TIFF is going to start. Oh, yeah, this made me laugh. So, during the Venice press conference for Joker Folie à Deux, Lady Gaga, by the way, her outfit at Venice, unbelievable. Look it up. During the press conference for Joker 2, she doesn't view Joker 2 as a musical. She said, quote, "The music is used to really give the characters a way to express what they need to say because the scene and dialogue is just not enough," which is the definition of a musical. So it's all good, but that's basically a musical. So yeah. That's a musical. That's what a musical's called. Oh, Joker, Folie à Deux. 52 on Metacritic. Yikes! Zoinks. Oof. It's early. It's early, but that might be the writing on the wall. That might be the writing on the wall. It might be it. Also, I love that Joaquin Phoenix showed up to the press conference in literally a white t-shirt. My man. Still not cool of him to walk out on the Todd Haynes film. He was going to be in the new Todd Haynes film, and he backed out at the very last second right before production, and it cost people their jobs. So, I don't know, man. He's going to have a rough Oscars campaign. Weird. Weird. All I'm saying is get Borderlands nominated for Best Picture. Here, that's a hoot, right? What else? I don't know, man. Oh, yeah, The Room Next Door. Yeah, The Room Next Door, the Almodovar thing. It got like a 17-minute standing ovation, which, again, means nothing. I don't know. Could mean something, but to me, that it's just, I don't know. I've been hearing mixed things about The Room Next Door. It looks great. The trailer looked awesome, but I don't know. There's some detractors about. I don't know. Let's go to the videotape. The Room Next Door, Almodovar. I've never seen an Almodovar film. I'm sorry. I mean, it's got a 95% of Rotten Tomato. 91% of Rotten Tomato out of 23 reviews. Mm-hmm. Metacritic? 70 on Metacritic. Yeah. It's like positive mixed. Variety gave it an 8. Vanity Fair gave it an 8 times 8. It seems to be like a 8. Between an 8 and a 7 for most people. I'm still going to see it. I love, man, those two actresses, Julianne Moore and Tilda Swinton, talk about chameleons. Those two women are chameleons. Incredible actresses. Both Oscar winners. Tilda Swinton has only been nominated for Michael Clayton, and she won for it in an upset, from what I remember. She should have 5 Oscar nominations, at least. She is unbelievable, and so is Julianne Moore. They're both just absolute chameleons. So yes, I'm of course I'm excited to see A Room Next Door. That'll be my in for Almodovar. Yeah, and plus Moore should have been nominated last year for May December, and Natalie Portman should have been nominated, and God forbid Charles Melton, my boy, should have been nominated as well. I'm happy it got that screenplay nomination, though. That was good. Okay, well, we're, what, 49, 50 minutes in? I don't know. Maybe that's where I'll stop for this episode. I think we've covered a lot here. Next order of business for the channel. I'm going to wait until the festivals wrap up. To do my first official Oscar predictions videos of the season. I was gonna do my prediction video for August, but I had a really busy month and I didn't really get to it in time, and I started doing my predictions right when the festivals were happening, or beginning rather, and these films started premiering, and I was literally changing my predictions every, I want to say every 12 hours, like in every category, because of these films premiering. So it just doesn't make sense for me to do them right now. I'm going to wait until, I think, until at least TIFF is over. And then late in September, I'm gonna be kind of busy with personal stuff. And then in October, I should have more time. So look for my first prediction video, most likely in about a month, beginning of October, realistically. I think that's when I'll be doing that. Other than that, gonna be probably chipping away at my watch list, doing some Operation Watch List shorts. And I'm gonna be starting to see some movies coming out, man. I might see Beetlejuice soon. I might see A Different Man when that comes out. Wild Robot, Joker. November 1st is a big day. A Real Pain, Blitz, and Conclave all come out on that day. Oh, man. Saturday Night, Anora, and Nickel Boys come out next month. So, yeah, man. 'Tis the season, man. The season is just beginning, and I am so excited. And I'm excited for y'all to come along to ride with me. Folks, thanks so much for listening to the first episode of the Oscar Guy Here podcast. I really appreciate it. I catch y'all on the flip, right? Again, YouTube, Oscar Guy Here, Instagram, at Oscar Guy Here, Letterboxd, Jazz Music 131, OscarGuyHere.com. There's not much there you can do, but just go, I guess. Stay tuned for more content, y'all. Thanks so much for listening, and have a good one. Oscar Guy is out.